Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of 1 John, chapter 1 through chapter 2, verse 2. In his message titled Confirming Data, Reverend David Williams tells us that on our confirmation day, we commit to live like Jesus. But Jesus does not want us to stop our growth on that day. Jesus asks us to live and act like every day is our confirmation day, so we continue to grow in God's grace. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please join me in the prayer of confession. Gracious God, here we are just 1 week out from Easter. On that Sunday, just a few days ago, we remembered that in Jesus, there's hope for a new life. We were reminded that we were all given the chance to live a resurrection life. But are we doing it? If other human beings looked at how we live and how we treat everyone around us, would they be able to tell? Help us to do what Jesus taught, because we so quickly forget. In Christ's name we pray this. Amen. And now the assurance of pardon. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. May the God of all mercy, who forgives us all our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen.
Please be seated. Our third scripture reading for this morning is drawn from the first letter of John. I'll be reading from John 1:1 through John 2:2. That can be found on page 238 of your Pew New Testament. Let's now listen a third time for God's Word. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testify to it and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I'm writing you these things so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they be acceptable in your sight, O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Who here has been confirmed in a church? Who here has had that happen to you? Has it been a while? It has been a long while since I got confirmed, and I'm reminded that, and was reminded of that in the weeks that I got to spend with the four good souls of this church who are getting up here to make statements about being fully part of this church today. It was hard to miss as we talked and talked about the culture into which they are now living. Hard to miss just how different it was when I was their age and making this choice. And you know, you try to be the pastor who's connecting with the young people, because, and I could say, you know, I had a computer when I was your age, just like you, and you could connect to the outside world with it, because I'm like totally hip to this groovy interwebs thing, man. And we were connected, but when I was the age that they are now, the fastest connection speed you could have was 300 baud. Anyone remember that term? That's, 300 bits per second? Am I getting that right? Not bytes per second. That's bits per second. And let's say you wanted to download something. Just, you know, something that people might download now. Let's choose something totally at random, like Call of Duty, you know, Advanced Warfare, something you might want to download. If you're downloading at 300 baud, that download speed would mean that if you started it today, it would download in 33 years. Meaning you would start the download now, and you would be as old as I am when it finally finished downloading. And you think to yourself, well, I'll just stream something short, you know, one of the things the kids, you know, like, I would just want to watch a vine, you know, maybe a French bulldog puppy doing something totally totes adorbs. Well, those 6.5 seconds of video would only take you 3 days of buffering. Well worth it, worth the wait. So cute, so cute. We live and are growing up in a really strangely connected age, where we just take this great wash of information that comes at us as just, you know, hey, this is just the way things are. But in that time, in this time, when we can know so much and have access to so much, one would think our grasp of what is true and what is good and what is right for us would be so much easier, because we can know anything. You live and are growing up in this era where you can know anything. I mean, you clack away at your keyboard or your trackpad, and before you on a little screen, you can watch anything. You can watch storm fronts moving across the mid-Atlantic in real time. You can watch panda cubs squirming around in real-time streaming. Oh, they're so cute. And you could spend hours doing that instead of working and doing whatever it is you're supposed to be doing. You never have to be lost. If you've got one of the magic devil boxes in your pocket, never, not for an instant. You know exactly where you are, so long as you've got a couple of those circly doohickeys on your signal meter. Here, an era where everyone who grows into it will know anything at any moment, in any place, and yet with that vast amount of information available to us, how do we manage it? How do we find what is true when truth in this great wash of information seems to become so much more subjective, as you can carefully pick facts to match the things that you already know? There's a word for when we do that. It plays off today. It's something called confirmation bias. And it doesn't really have that much to do with what you're committing to, but it does a little bit. Because human beings have this particular way of dealing with information they encounter. What we have is we take something we believe, and then we only take facts that exactly reinforce what it is we already know. You can do this with almost anything. It's a danger in this internet era. Let's say, for example, you're 7 years old. You're one of my 7-year-old kids, and you don't want the water that I've put on the table as your beverage for dinner. You want instead the life-giving glass of chocolate milk that is the birthright of every red-blooded American child. and you're going to argue for it. You can choose facts that support your position that water is the wrong drink at all times. You could note, which is very true, that 100% of people exposed to water will die. You could note that water is the leading cause of drowning. You could note that water is the primary ingredient in most commercial herbicides and pesticides. And you could note, with a bunch of medical fact to support you up, that consuming too much water can cause water poisoning. It can cause significant health impacts, up to and including death. This is a glass of death you have in front of me instead of life-giving chocolate milk. It is easy to fall into this pattern of thinking. To affirm what we affirm because of all the facts we have chosen that affirm our affirmations. And in this age, where we can find anything, we can easily seek out only those things that confirm exactly what we know, surrounding ourselves with an endless stream of carefully handpicked information to the point where we're not really seriously thinking about the way we are living or about what we say we believe. And that's dangerous for us, because if we do that, if we filter out every bit of countervailing information, every bit of negative information, everything that might challenge us to grow, then we don't grow. We can just stagnate away. What we're asked to do when we confirm our faith is not to engage in confirmation bias. We are asked to take a hard look at the reality of what we claim as the story that defines us and ask, what does this do? What does this really do as we can see it at work in the world around us? Does this Jesus thing, this life that he taught, make a difference for us? Does it make any difference in the way that we live out this little butterfly flutter of a life that we've been given? The first letter of John this morning talks about what it means to live that life out. And it's a fascinating little letter, largely fascinating because it isn't a letter. You know, right there at the top it says, first letter of John. But this doesn't look like a letter. You go back to the very beginning that you just heard. It doesn't have, dear people who live in this place, or dear this person. It doesn't start with a salutation or anything at all. It's just kind of an essay that was circulated in the early church. And you know that because of the way it ends. How does a letter end? And, you know, I don't know if we do endings in this sort of texting era, you know, thank you so much, you know. But back then, letters ended in a certain way. This doesn't. It doesn't say goodbye. It doesn't sort of say, you know, look forward to seeing you soon. Please send money. It just says, you know, I got a kid about to go off to college. I'm looking forward to those. There's just this little ending. It says, little children, don't worship idols, and then it stops. Nothing else. It's not even really an essay. It's just a gentle message. It doesn't even, I mean, if you're ending an essay, you know, you've got to have, you know, in conclusion, let me summarize the 3 points that I've been trying to carefully make so that the computer that grades my writing will notice that this is a summary, and I've checked that box. It isn't even really that. It's just a message given from one person who held this faith to anyone else who wanted to hear it. And this comes to us from John. This letter comes to us like the other letters attributed to John, like the gospel attributed to John, comes to us speaking a language that shares the same style. It's both elegant and simple. And it's so closely linked to all of those other writings that it has to be either the same person writing it or someone who'd listened to that voice so many times that it was how they themselves now spoke. We don't know exactly who wrote it. We're not sure. This letter doesn't tell us. It doesn't give us a return address. It doesn't give us a name of the person writing it. It's very quiet. I am the one writing, it says, and nothing more. And what's most striking about this letter and the Gospel of John is how it is both deeply mystic and intensely spiritual and also really hands-on and very practical. It soars with beautiful language on the one hand and is so straightforward all at the same time. Take how important the flesh and blood of the gospel is in this passage we just encountered. You don't have this writer pitching out wild esoteric language about some idea or theological concept. It's not abstract. It's not intellectualized. It's authentic. It's not talking about wild dreams and strange visions. It's just, here is this transforming truth, which I have heard with my own ears, which I can see with my own eyes, which I can hold on to, and I want to tell you about. And what is being reported is a pretty intense claim. It's a set of truths that place significant demands on those who listened and heard. It says, you want to work towards being that best thing, but you're not perfect. Right now, you are not. Don't claim to be. Don't claim that everything you know you hold exactly. Acknowledge that you are flawed, because if you don't acknowledge you're flawed, then you're not being honest about your walk along this path. And that helps break those who hear it away from that tendency to say, I have perfect knowledge already. I know absolutely everything. No. You are seeking to be tested, and you're seeking to be changed, and you're always looking to grow and grow deeper in this journey. What is offered here, and what all of us are asked to do when we take that statement of confirmation, is to confirm, yes, I want to keep walking this path, but to admit in our confirmation that we don't hold everything yet. We don't believe now as we did when we were 5 or when we were 7 or 15 or 17 and on and on. And we are always called to be open to grow in our faith. And equally important, the faith that we're living out has to be a faith that we're living out. It has to be something that's tangible, something that people can tell when they see us. They can tell that I am not a ninja, but I'm hoping they can tell that all of us are Christian, that all of us have committed to the life that Jesus tells us to live, and we're doing it. That life is the confirmation that we're all asked to pursue in every day, confirming and reconfirming that we are walking that path that Jesus taught. How do we do that? It sounds like a rhetorical question. It's not, actually. Here in this room, how do we, in this gathered place, how do we live that out? Anyone think of a way we live that out? Anyone done anything in the last day or so that involved feeding anyone who needed food? Anyone? Anyone do that? Anyone? Yeah?
I volunteered at the soup kitchen in
Gatesburg. You did, thank you, John. Anyone else? Was anyone else there volunteering at a soup kitchen? Yeah. What else do we do to show that we walk this path and that it means something? How do we confirm that? Nancy?
We care for family members.
Do we care for others too? We do WOMCO.
which involves, I mean, it's shorthand for us, but what does that entail? Do we have any staff from WUMCO here who might be able to tell us that?
We feed and we help those in need. We do to others as we would have them do to us, and we do that each and every day. We are given the opportunity. Confirmation is today, but confirmation is also every step along the way after today. And for those being confirmed today, and for those who have been confirmed, remember, this is something that involves you always being transformed, always growing, always deepening in the faith. Let that be so for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation from Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
It is really easy to look on confirmation as a thing that, oh, you just did. It's done. It's finished. Go out, have some cake. It's good. What I ask everyone in this room to remember is that the act of confirming our faith happens in our everyday. Whether you did it 10 minutes ago, or you did it slightly longer than that ago. When we go out into the world, we are given an opportunity to confirm and reconfirm and reconfirm that faith in every moment that we have been blessed with. So as you go out into the world, as all of us go out into the world, remember that every act of love, every act of grace, every word of forgiveness, every moment you show mercy is a moment of confirmation. And that is how we are meant to spend all of our lives. Let's get out into the world and confirm that this faith is something that can be seen and touched and heard and felt. So now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.